Oh, good morning, family. It's amazing to be with you all today. As Merv said, I'm one of the elders at Josh and San Clemente. I'm serving on Andrew's team over there along with Clint. And a couple of us San Clemente guys pulled through. And we love you guys. There is seriously such an excitement that I have as I look to you guys as a church. One of the words that came through this morning was on unity. And man, have I seen unity this morning. It has been beautiful to see how you guys have, I mean, just what you've done and how you guys have come around. It's just beautiful. Beautiful what has been happening this morning. It's almost hard to like want to preach after something like that. You just feel the presence of God in worship. You feel the testimony. It's just like, wow, I'm going to come and bring a word about uncertainty. This will be great. Yeah, this will be awesome. As many of you guys know, we're a few days into the new year, and we're planning our New Year's resolutions. We're doing our things, and I've got a few. One of them is journaling, so I've got three journals here, and I'm preparing a fourth. I have a reading journal, a prayer journal, a gratitude journal, and I'm thinking about a habits journal as well. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is because of actually what Chase shared, of just being able to look back at what God has done throughout a year or through a season of uncertainty, being able to look back at that and say, oh, that's where you were, God. That's how you were moving. I didn't see you then, but as I look back in my journal, I see you now. And I'm excited to get into that. I also, another New Year's goal is for Bella to play keys for me in the background, like Sonia plays for Merv. Bella doesn't know keys, by the way. So, and then one of Bella's New Year's goals is to start to dress her husband. So if you notice a nice shirt, it's because of the lovely wife over there. So, but yeah, I was thinking to myself about seasons of uncertainty and seasons where we go through the wilderness. And I'll talk about what that concept is and where we find it in Scripture. But man, I already feel you guys breaking through. And I feel like it is a season of uncertainty. But God has so much in store for you guys. And I'm just excited to see how this how the Lord works and how you guys all look more like Jesus at the end of this all. And I had an intro prepped, but as we were in worship and everything, it just went out the window. But I'm here to talk about the wilderness season. It's a little bit ambiguous. I'm going to hopefully clarify that for us this morning. And we'll see where we actually pull that from in Scripture. But the wilderness is the space between the promise that God speaks and the strength required to carry it. The strength required to walk in it. It's a challenging period where the Lord trains his people, where he forms capacity, where he shapes your and I's character, where he teaches us to trust and hope in him. I think of a couple back home. You guys may know them by proximity, Nathan and Renee, who are just an incredible, incredible couple who have poured their lives out for the church, for San Clemente, and they left their home in Canada. They left their jobs, they left their home, they left their families to come to America to serve us and serve the church here because they felt a deep sense of calling that this is where the Lord was calling them to. But almost immediately since coming from Canada to America, they've been walking in the wilderness. They've been hosted over the last 6 months. There's financial uncertainty. They're nursing credentials aren't going through, so there's questions of like where they're going to work, and they've got a baby on the way, and so all of these like circumstances seem unclear, and sometimes that's the tension of the wilderness where obedience happens on our part, but fulfillment hasn't yet arrived. Right, that's the wilderness, and some would say that in life you're either in the storm, on your way out of the storm, or going into the storm. And this morning, I want to reframe it a little bit differently to say that in life, we will go through the wilderness. We will come out of the wilderness, and we may be in the wilderness right now. But even in saying that, I want to reframe that, and I think we'll see that in just a moment, that is actually where the Lord does his deepest work in us, where you find his presence daily. I think we'll see that in just a moment. So this morning, I just want to give us some handles, whether you've been following Jesus for a long time, or you're new to exploring the faith on what the scripture has to show us about these wilderness seasons and how God uses them to actually prepare us for what's coming next. Amen? Amen. Awesome. So one of the comforting truths of scripture is that God, again, does some of his deepest works when things are unstable, when things are shifting, right? In fact, you look at many of the stories in the Bible, and again, God's the most redemptive moments are in the unstableness, are in the moments of the in-between, and that's exactly what we find in the book of Exodus. I feel bad for Jamie and because you guys have listened to this already. But it's what we see in the book of Exodus. I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Prince of Egypt. Anybody? One of the best soundtracks ever made. I mean, one of the greatest child movies of all time. And again, it's a beautiful movie about the Israelites who are in captivity from Egypt and Pharaoh. And at this point in the story where we'll bring us into in Exodus 13, God has delivered Israel through his power, right? He displays his power over an entire region through the 10 plagues, and after the 10th plague, Pharaoh finally decides to let the people go. And God begins to lead his people towards the promised land, and we see that in verse 21. But just to give you guys some more context, Israel had been under Pharaoh's captivity for 400 years, and the cries of the people finally make their way to the heart of God, and God says, I have to move on behalf of my people. I hear them. I see their slavery. I see what they're going through. Slavery shaped the way that the Israelites thought about authority. They had a new way of thinking about safety and a new way about thinking about provision. And then what happens in verse 21 or Exodus, the early book of Exodus, is God removes Pharaoh, but he doesn't give them a roadmap. He doesn't give them a roadmap. Right? They don't know how long the journey will take. They don't know what obstacles are ahead. They're completely dependent on God's leading, and it's a step-by-step journey. It's a step-by-step journey, and that's, again, where we find ourselves in Exodus 13, and we'll see it in verse 21. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to guide them along the way, and by night, a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. And Andrew preached recently, he preached on the prophetic and just gave us this beautiful concept of how we as a church need to be people who follow the cloud and fire by night. We need to follow the Lord. If a word comes through that we're able to test it and weigh it up, and if it is the Lord, then we're faithful as a church to shift because that's where the Lord is going. And that's even at the expense of our traditions and our expectations and our two songs up front message, two songs to close. You know, kind of the things that we're used to as a American church. We got to be faithful to follow the Lord where the Lord goes. So we want to be people. We want to be people who are led by the Spirit wherever the Spirit chooses to go. But I'm finding that following the Spirit of God it looks different than how we imagine. We ask him to lead us, and we usually picture clarity and momentum and progress. But the Scripture shows us sometimes that God's leading doesn't always take us to the shortest route. It takes us through the most formative one. And that brings me to the first point of my message this morning, the first principle that we see in Scripture with regards to the wilderness, and that's that the wilderness is not accidental. It is actually God-appointed for preparation. The wilderness is God-appointed for preparation, and I'll unpack that now. But just to let you know, over the past several weeks, I found myself in my own wilderness, walking through my own health challenges. If you guys don't know, I have an upper colon disease, IBD, and it is something that has taken my life by storm. I've had it for almost 2 years now. It's chronic, so I'll have it for the rest of my life, unless the Lord decides to heal me, and I'm praying for a year of healing. You'll have seasons of good, you'll have seasons of bad, and it just changes everything. We'll get into that in just a moment. I'll just set this down for now. And so that's kind of like an unstable thing that has just always occurred in my life for the last 2 years. More recently, as you guys well know, Jay suffered a seizure as a result of a stroke. And I just want to say, one of the reasons I'm so excited to be with you guys is because you guys have walked with our family. I don't have water. You're good. Jay is Sunshine's dad, Linda's husband. My grandpa, yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Too much weight. I think that needed to break up the awkwardness a little bit. But just thank you guys. You guys have done so well as a church, coming alongside Sunshine and Mike and Linda. The trips to the hospital, the prayers, just amazing. But that obviously hit the family pretty hard. And then, so all these things are happening. Work comes at me, and work says, hey, you may have to find a new job in 30 days. Still a little uncertain. And yeah, sometimes in life, all these things seem to be happening at once. And there are moments where it felt like a dry and barren land. But I'm learning that in this gap, right, in this space between what I sense the Lord is calling me towards and what God is currently doing in me, that this time is intentional, that this time is not accidental, that this time has a purpose. And notice how I said that this season is God-directed for preparation and not punishment. The season is God-directed for preparation and not punishment. As Bella and I, as we've navigated this season, I remember Bella saying to me that she had a prayer time with the Lord, and she was like, Lord, is there some form of sin in our lives that is causing kind of some of these things to happen? Like, what are we doing wrong that's causing these things to happen? And she remembers the Lord saying to her, you want there to be sin so that you could find a quick fix for your circumstances. I have you in this situation because I'm working on you. He said to her, it's going to get harder, but I'm going to make it easy because I'm going to be with you. And it's gotten harder for sure. But he's been with us. And as you guys navigate your own things, whether you find yourself in the wilderness now or you find yourself in the wilderness sometime in the future, he's faithful to be with you. And we see this in scripture, actually, that the wilderness comes before the promised land, right? The dry and barren land will come before the land of milk and honey. You think of Jesus himself, who himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? To be tested before he stepped into ministry, before the miracles, before the crowds, before the Son of God laid down his life, he was led into the wilderness to be tested. It was a time of preparation before he went and did the things that he did. And so God will form us. God will form and fashion us to look like his Son. And we see that nowhere clearer than in the story of Israel. If we look at verse 17 again, Pharaoh had let the Israelites go, like I said. But God does not guide them by the way of the land of Philistines, even though it was near. In other words, God could have taken them the shorter route. And so God is saying to the Israelites, the promise is close, but you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. And so God turns them to the way of the wilderness, not to harm them, not to abandon them, but to prepare them. God says, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. And so the shorter route would have led to battles that the Israelites were not ready for. But he didn't lead them that way because, again, he wanted to prepare them. And the lesson is clear, that God is more concerned about who you are becoming rather than how fast you reach the destination. God is more concerned with who you are becoming rather than how fast you reach the destination. God knew that the Israelites needed formation before the fulfillment of his promise, and the same is true for us. In order for Josh Dan Newport, or you as individuals, for me, for us to walk in the things that God has planned for us, his plans and his purposes, he will prepare us. He will prepare us. And that preparation takes time. The preparation takes time. Think of Abraham and Sarah, who in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 15, Abraham receives a promise that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years. David, who was anointed to become king in 1 Samuel 16, and he waited 15 to 20 years. But from the time that he was anointed as king to the time that he wore the crown and sat on the throne, 15 to 20 years. And I love David. David's a beautiful example. If you guys know the story well, David has an opportunity to actually kill Saul. Saul chases him into a cave. He has an opportunity to kill Saul. But David says, I will not lay a hand on God's anointed. David didn't shortcut God's timing. He could have. He could have seized the throne. But he decided to wait because he knew that God was working in him. He knew that God was doing something in this time of instability and uncertainty. I shared this with my community group a few weeks ago. It was a devotional I read in the Bible app. And it was called The Sweetness of Patience. And it says, have you ever plucked a fruit prematurely? Perhaps you were allured by its vibrant color and sweet scent moving through the air. But when you take the first bite, you realize that it lacked the ripeness you anticipated. Everything seemed right at first glance. But there was one missing ingredient, and that missing ingredient was time. The wilderness is part of that ripening process. It's God's classroom for us. And so when you feel like life is dry and slow and uncertain, remember that God is using this season to prepare you. He's not punishing you. He's preparing you. He's preparing you. James 1:2-4 says, count it all joy when you meet trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen? All right, but the wilderness isn't just about shaping our character. It's also about recentering our trust. And that raises an important question about what trust is. And more specifically, God uses this season to put our hope in Him and Him alone. He uses this season to recenter our hope, the things that we put our hope in, so that it's in Him and Him alone. And there's a verse that I love. It's in Psalm 42:11. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. What kind of hope is this? That we could look at our soul in times of turmoil and say, hope again in God. He is my salvation and my strength. There's something to that, to understand what biblical hope actually means. And it comes from the Old Testament word, kavah. So anytime you see hope in the Old Testament, it's a few words. But one of them mostly is this word kavah. And it comes from the root word kav, which means cord or rope. And to kavah for the Lord is to wait under tense expectation. Wait under tense expectation. This is where this toilet paper comes in. It's not actually toilet paper. If I could have two volunteers, just briefly. Two volunteers. All right, you two, come down. Let's stand in front of the people this way. I want you guys to give it a little bit of a pull. Give it some tension. All right, take a few more steps back. If they keep pulling, what's about to happen? It's going to rip, right? And so the tense expectation is knowing that as they continue to step back, as these strong individuals continue to step back, or as time continues to happen, there's pressure that's building, and there's a tense expectation that that thing is about to snap. And this is important. You guys are done. Thank you so much. But it gives you the idea of tension and of expectation that as time goes on, this thing is about to pop, right? And this matters because biblical hope isn't rooted in circumstances. Biblical hope isn't rooted in whether or not I believe my family member will get better or for I'm going to lose my job. I can't hope in those things because I don't know if it's going to happen. Biblical hope is not rooted in circumstances or timelines or control. Biblical hope is rooted in a person, and that person's name is Jesus, right? And so what we're saying when we have hope, when we kavah for the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I know that as time goes on, this thing will snap. My God will come through. Does that make sense? That is what it means to hope for the Lord, is I am tensely expecting that the Lord will break through, and it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. When your hope is in Jesus, there's a shift that begins to happen in your heart where you can face uncertain circumstances with confidence. Not because you know how those things will end, but because you know the God who walks with you through those circumstances. And so everything begins to change. This is the goal of the wilderness, that these uncertain things that we put our hope in would fall away, and that there would be one thing that stands as our hope, and that would be God, the Lord, that it would be Yahweh, that he would lead his people. What we see with the Israelites is different. This is what we call misplaced hope. In Exodus 14, 11 through 12, the Israelites are standing at the edge of the Red Sea. Again, if you've seen the Prince of Egypt, you know this well. The Israelites are standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army are now in pursuit of the Israelites. And under pressure, the Israelites' hope is revealed. And we see in verse 11, it says, "Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say that, leave us alone, that we serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.'" And this is what the prince of Egypt doesn't show, is what a bunch of complainers the Israelites were in the wilderness, right? They saw God perform 10 plagues over an entire region, and they're complaining about going back into slavery rather than following God into the wilderness. It's funny, in the movie, they open with a song called "Deliver Us," and they sing, "Deliver us, there's a land you promised us. Deliver us to the promised land." And then in verse 11, they're like, "Well, didn't we tell you to leave us? We told you to just let us serve the Egyptians." And so you see their hope, right? Their hope was in familiarity. Their hope was in predictability, even if that predictability meant slavery. And this is what the wilderness does, is it strips away false supports. And it has us ask the hard question: if nothing goes as you expect, if circumstances are unclear, will God still be enough for you? Will God still be enough for you? And as I've navigated my own wilderness, I've realized where I've misplaced my hope. Up until about 6 weeks ago, life was great. Life was great. Community group was booming. Family was healthy and happy. Work was stable. And then I began to build a sense of security around these things. I had my hope that these things would show up for me time and time again. But as the wilderness came, those things could no longer support me. When our hope is in him, we can face uncertainty. We can face disappointment. We can face delay without panic, because our confidence is not in outcomes. It's in the one who holds the outcomes in his hands. And so this is what the wilderness will do, is it'll strip us away of all the things that we hold that support us. And it'll leave God alone to be the one who holds us up. Where our trust and our hope is in the one who holds all things in his hands. I love the songs that we sang. Worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy of this. I think of goodness of God. You've led me through the fire. I will sing of the goodness of God. He's good. Even in the wilderness, he's good. And so the question for us is simple. When we find ourselves in the wilderness, or maybe some of us are there now, where is your hope anchored? Is it in the familiar? Is it in the predictable? Or is it in the faithful God who never fails? Is it in the faithful God who never fails? And again, that's why the wilderness matters. It's not just for preparation, but it's learning how to hope rightly. And God wants to be our hope. God wants to be our support system. God wants to lead us and prepare us for the things that he's walking us into. And so preparation changes who we are. It shapes our character. Again, does the things. Hope changes what we trust. And I think together they determine how we wait. Which brings me to the last point, and that's that the wilderness teaches us to wait well. Waiting well doesn't mean, you know, letting time pass and just waiting till God delivers us into his promise. I think waiting well is active. It's an active thing that we do. It's daily, even though there are uncertain times ahead, even though the circumstances aren't unclear. It's daily putting our trust in him again. It's daily watching for the pillar of fire and the cloud to guide us. It's daily obeying, going, even when the outcome is unseen. And that part is on us. The Moses generation, as you guys may know, Moses didn't make it into the promised land. The Moses generation didn't make it into the promised land because of fear and doubt and rebellion. Their waiting became stagnation. They saw God's provision. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud. But they didn't fully trust him to lead them. In Hebrews 3:16-19, it says, "But for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient?" So we see that they were not able to enter the rest because of their unbelief. The Joshua generation, on the other hand, which were rightfully named after, the Joshua generation learned to wait well. They inherited the promises that God had spoken, not because they rushed ahead or they shortcutted God's timing, because they obeyed his guidance. Because even in the wilderness, they were cultivating faith. One of the things I was feeling for you guys this morning was just this impartation of faith, that we would be Joshua and Calebs in the midst of a Moses generation. That we would look at the land and not be afraid of the giants and think, "Oh, I don't know what's ahead, guys. I don't know if we could take this thing on," but that God would reveal to us his character, that he would unveil something from our eyes, that we would see him clearly and think, "Who are those giants compared to my God? Who cares what comes ahead? Because our God is the one leading us and guiding us." Did you not just see what he did in Egypt? Did you not just see that he split the Red Sea? Whatever comes your guys' way, whatever comes our way, Joshua and Caleb's faith, because God will come through. God will come through. And so again, waiting well means leaning into the preparation period. I think of, yeah, so many times I prolonged the period of preparation because of my stubbornness and hard-headedness. And I just want to say, guys, lean into the preparation. I don't know. I think Andrew and Liz had made their way to you guys. Yeah, Josh to Newport. And one of the things that I love that the East say quite frequently is to lean into the pain. Right? As a mother leans into the pain for the birth of new life, lean into the preparation, because God wants to do something in you, bring new life through you. Lean into the preparation. Lean into what he's doing, and new life will come. It means seeing God's hand in the small daily moments, where just like the Israelites, they didn't have the meat and all the things, but they had the manna. It's seeing God in just the daily manna, the manna that's just enough for the day. It's seeing the pillar of cloud by fire and again following, trusting in his guidance, trusting in his protection, even when the promised land seems far away. The goal of the Joshua generation was not to survive the wilderness. I think we can do a lot of surviving. But the goal of the Joshua generation, the goal for God, God's goal for the Joshua generation, was that they wouldn't just survive, but that they would be ready to step into all the promises he had for them once they made it out of the wilderness. And I just feel another thing, that this isn't a surviving period. This is a preparation period for what he wants you to walk into. And this is the goal of the wilderness. Whether you're there now, whether you find yourselves there in the future, God is preparing you for things to walk into. And that is his faithfulness to do that in us. I'm still learning how to do that well. About a week ago, something came up that I felt was super unfair and unjust towards me. And I remember, you know, being so frustrated to the point of tears. And I'm talking like, I've been walking through this for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And even still, I get so frustrated about like the things that are happening. And I remember being frustrated to the point of tears. And I had my back towards Bella, and Bella's being a good wife and, you know, consoling me, and we're praying. And, you know, tomorrow's a new day. And we get through it one day at a time. But it's still a struggle. I'm still learning how to wait well. But I'm figuring out that, again, the Lord is teaching me to wait well. He's reminding me that this time isn't wasted time. He's faithful to give me just enough manna for the day. And I'm learning to enjoy his presence. I love enjoying his presence in the mountaintops. But I'm learning to enjoy his presence in the valleys too, because he's there. And again, no matter how hard life gets and whether or not we see the full picture right now, God is faithful to his people. And God is faithful to use this time to form you and to prepare you to walk into the things that he's calling you into. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just feel for you guys as someone comes up to the keys. We've got a couple key players, Lawrence, one day Bella. I just feel, again, an impartation of faith this morning. And I just, for those of you who maybe you're finding that you're walking through the wilderness and you're finding that your support systems are being challenged, I feel like there's an invitation for you for greater faith. And for, again, for us to recenter our trust, to say, yes, Lord, I don't know where this season is going. I don't know how things are going to end up. But there's an invitation to say, but I'm putting my trust in you. But I'm willing to lean into the pain and preparation.